Brothers and sisters, is there a division in families when it comes to faith? You bet there is. And I'm going to lay out some examples that I've encountered as a priest, and I've also heard other people share with me. So that's what we have to build towards today. Our first reading of today talks about a cistern, and it's not the first time in the Old Testament we hear about a cistern. Now, a cistern is an underground water reservoir. It's a place where water would be reserved underground to keep it cool. Do you remember the story of a man named Joseph? Let's think about that story for a moment. Israel had many sons, but his favorite was Joseph because Joseph was a product of his old age. And when you read Genesis chapter 37, you realize that Israel made this long robe for Joseph with long sleeves, and he gave it to his son. And when his brothers saw it, they hated him. That's what it said. Read it. Genesis 37. They hated him. But the story goes on. It gets better. See, Joseph used to have dreams, and he would tell his brother what his dreams were. Here's one that I'll share with you today. We, all of us brothers, were tying grain into bundles out in the field, and suddenly mine stood up. It remained standing while your bundles gathered around my bundle and bowed down to it. In other words, you will bow down to me. The result, they hated him even more. And this story goes on and on. But you know, I think you know how it ends. In the end, Israel sends Joseph out to his brothers to see how they're doing with the flocks. When they see him coming, they say, there's that master deceiver. They want to kill him. And in the end, where do they put him? In a cistern. Okay? So what's going on then in our first reading? What's happening? 600 years before Jesus Christ, the Babylonians were the force to be reckoned with. And the Babylonians set their sights on the city of Jerusalem. And it was Jeremiah who realized to fight the Babylonians would only amount to complete, utter destruction. So he told the people, surrender or else you will be destroyed and the city itself will be destroyed. Some of the Jewish leaders didn't like this. And so they go to the king, they go to King Zedekiah, they say, this man is a traitor. We want to kill him. And so where does the king order him to be put? Did you think about this, though? The cistern has what in it? Mud. How do you sit in a cistern if you're sitting and standing in mud? The only way you could do it is if you sat in mud. So what's your choice? You're going to stand all the time, or are you going to sit in mud? Now, mud, muck. I understand muck. You see, brothers and sisters, as a hunter, some of your greatest duck hunting lakes have as the bottom of the lake is muck. I'll give you an example. Trenton Lake, one of the greatest duck hunting lakes I've ever hunted over time. But you always hope the water was high so you could stay in the boat or easily set out the decoys, push yourself in the cattails. I tell you, when the lake was low, though, it would have given any one of you who's the greatest physical athlete the workout of a lifetime. Those of you who think you're in peak physical shape, let me take you to Trenton Lake, and we're going to have you run through it. Okay? It will be the workout of a lifetime. At 51 years old, I won't even challenge Trenton Lake now when it's low. It's just too difficult. As a matter of fact, when it happens when it's low, you may be able to get to the spot, you may be able to deploy your decoys, but to get the boat into the cattails themselves requires you get out of the boat. And when you get out of the boat, the muck of that lake used to get up at least to your knees. Sometimes it was even higher than that. So imagine there you are, push your boat into the cattails, and now you're trying to get into the boat. So here's what happens. If you try to get in from the back of the boat, guess what the front does? Lifts right up. Try to get in from the side, guess what the boat does? It wants to go. Quite a workout. It's quite a workout. And now you understand the plight of Jeremiah. And why? Because he said something people didn't like. Now, I understand this last week was fall practice for many of our athletes. at least our varsity athletes. So I'm going to ask you this, speaking about being in peak physical condition, how are you feeling today? Are you stiff and sore, or do you feel absolutely great? All right? Stiff and sore, or do you feel great? Well, the second reading of today talks about you. It talks about athletes. And remember, the Jews, the time of Jesus, were under Roman occupation. And of course, the Romans loved athletics. And the apex of it all was in Rome itself, the great Roman Colosseum. So I'm going to share a little story about the Roman Colosseum today. A little story that happened there. Now, it's a little bit gory, but it is true. Here's the story. In 107 AD, Ignatius, the bishop of Antioch, was taken to Rome, guarded by Roman soldiers. Within the Roman Colosseum, he was thrown to the lions. The wild beasts left nothing of him except for a few bones. Why did this happen? The Emperor Trajan came to Antioch and forced the Christians to choose between worshiping pagan Roman gods or death. Ignatius refused the emperor's request and chose death. See the pattern here? Jeremiah, because he speaks the truth, everyone, what happens to him? He's thrown in a cistern. We see today the story of Ignatius, because he speaks the truth, is thrown to the lions. Saying things people don't like. And in the gospel of today, Jesus says it this way. Do you think I have come to establish peace? No, I tell you, I have come to establish division. So here we go. Is there truth that in families there is division over faith, religion, Catholicism? You bet there is. And I'm going to share four examples with you today. Here we go. Example one. A woman, a Catholic, marries a man, a Lutheran, in the Catholic Church. They have a child, and the woman would like to have the child baptized Catholic. Her spouse's response is, I may have been married in the Catholic Church, but this baptism will take place in my church, the Lutheran Church. Example two. Someone converts to Catholicism, and the parents are angry. Division can run so deep that parents have little, even nothing, to do with such a child. Words even sound like this, I will never set foot in a Catholic church. Example three, you all go on vacation with relatives of other Christian denominations. Having rode with one of your relatives to the cabin, you don't have access to your vehicle. Sunday rolls around and you state, I would like to go to Mass. Their response, why? It isn't obligated for us. With that, a great debate ensues. Example four, does this sound familiar? Parent to child, so while at college, are you attending Mass? Child states, no, by the way, mind your own business. It escalates when we reply, but Jesus didn't stay out of other people's business, so neither will I. Brother, these are real life scenarios. This is the gospel brought to life. Jesus foretold it. Mothers, daughters, sons, fathers, mothers-in-laws, daughter-in-laws, the list goes on and on and on. They're tough. And so you turn to me and you say, Father Schuster, how do I find hope? The answer is, it's pretty simple. It's in the second reading. This is what it says. In running the race of faith, keep your eyes on guess who? Jesus. Think about all that Jesus endured. Think about the opposition he went through. And yet, time and time again, what did he do? Turn to the Father. And that was enough. Sometimes, all of you, you look for this great, big, grandiose explanation of what to do. There it is. Garden of Gethsemane, what did Jesus do? Throw a great, big party? He went and spent time with the Father. And that's what I share with all of you. In all things, keep your eyes on Jesus. Focus on Jesus. So when things get tough, who do you turn to? Go to Jesus. He'll help you. As the Father helped Jesus Christ. So brothers and sisters, let's keep that in mind as we once again gather today and we celebrate our sacred mysteries.